Vidam yasye hidam amsha kamsaka. Okay, yeah, this is the thing. So it is vidam yasye hidam amsha kamsaka. Okay. Thank you for that.
Nam vincho na kumara nalo.
Rulers. Maninaha. who consider ourselves to be. It's good that it was collected. Yes, yeah. Completely, meaning completely changes. Yes, yeah means of whom. You know, we are talking about whose activities, the Lord's activities. Yaya means by which. So, it's completely changed. Yeah, by which, and also it has to be a female. By her, pretty much. That's the meaning. So, it's good to be corrected. Translation. Neither I, Lord Shiva, nor Brahma, nor the Ashwini Kumaras, nor Narada, or the other great sages who are Brahma's sons, nor even the demigods can understand the pastimes and personality of the Supreme Lord. Although we are part of the Supreme Lord, we consider ourselves independent, separate controllers, and thus we cannot understand His identity. So please understand, Lord Shiva is speaking on behalf of many people, about Himself. Then Brahma, Ashwini Kumaras, Narada's great sages, even the demigods, none of them can understand past tense and personality of the Supreme Lord. Why? Why can't they understand the pastimes and activities and the personalities of the Supreme Lord?
Because they consider themselves controllers, separate.
Independent, separate controllers. So he states the reason why can't they understand. And it can be very bewildering if Lord Shiva speaks like this, quoting Virincha and Narada. Suddenly we may think, what's really going on? And that's why purport is very important. Even though short, very to the point, explaining this apparent contradiction. So we'll read purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Brahma Samhita 533 states, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavvanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is the original person. He is absolute, infallible and beginningless. And although expanded into unlimited forms, He is still the same original person, the oldest person who always appears as a fresh youth. The eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord can not be understood even by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. So this verse is substantiating what point? In connection to this translation. Famous verse, many of you know this.
This verse is giving the qualification to understand the Lord?
Yes. And who cannot understand and who can understand? So Vedic scholars cannot understand. And in one sense, stating that many of the personalities mentioned in this verse are Vedic scholars. They know Vedas. Of course, Lord Brahma must know Veda, right? Wherever Lord Brahma goes, the personified Vedas accompany him. And there is a classic description in Bhagavatam, in the beginning of 5th canto, right? The Priyavarta pastime, beginning of 5th canto. When Lord Brahma came to convince Priyavarta, personified Vedas accompanied along with Narada Muni and other great sages. So Brahma has certainly access to Vedas. He is not oblivious to it at all. But the point is, even the Vedic scholars cannot understand Krishna. Vedascha Durlabham, and he is understandable to his pure devotees. So in one sense, this Prabhupada's reference is qualifying who can understand, and one sense qualifying Lord Shiva's statement. But now, Prabhupada actually turns around. He explains the position of Lord Shiva. So let's hear. Lord Shiva places himself as one of the known devotees. So here Lord Shiva is speaking on the behalf of known devotees. That's what Prabhupada is telling. It's not his position. So we shouldn't misconstrue the position of Lord Shiva. The Lord Shiva places himself as one of the known devotees who cannot understand the identity of the Supreme Lord. The Lord being Ananta has an unlimited number of forms. Therefore, how is it possible for an ordinary common man to understand him? Lord Shiva, of course, is above the ordinary human beings. Yet, he is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is not among the ordinary living entities, nor is he in the category of Lord Vishnu. He is between Lord Vishnu and the common living entity. Om Jnanati Vrantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamsya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhudaya Mahatma Mahapuro Vibhu Nirmaya Shetaya Damusha Purusha Bhumte Gunan Shodasha Shodagatmaka Svalangri Shishta Bhagavan Vachanam Sime Hare Krishna. Here Lord Shiva continues to speak about the Supreme Lord and his devotees. After the response of Chitraketu Maharaj, Lord Shiva was very pleased how Chitraketu Maharaj responded to Mother Parvati's curse. And he starts glorifying the position of devotees. He says, see the wonder of these devotees. In one sense, Lord Shiva was mentioning, the devotees are beautiful and they are even beautiful than you. Varanane to Parvati. You are beautiful, but the devotees are even more beautiful because of their transcendental qualities. So they don't care where they are placed. Whether it is Naraka, whether it is Swarga, Bhumi, Tulyartha, Darshanaha. In that way glorified. Then Lord Shiva starts to speak about those who cannot understand the Supreme Lord. So he does the preaching. He tells, generally many people cannot understand the Supreme Lord. And then he glorifies the Supreme Lord. In the previous verse, Lord Shiva explains who can understand the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in the devotion service. That is Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Uddohatam Rana. One who is engaged in bhakti unto Vasudeva. They can understand the Lord. And here Lord Shiva places himself in a very humble position to teach us about the position of the Supreme Lord and who can understand, who cannot understand. So today we will speak about a few points. One, why can't ordinary living entities understand the position of the Supreme Lord, his activities or his personality? Why can't he? So here the statement is, it's mentioned that they consider themselves, so we can place ourselves, we consider ourselves independent controllers. We consider ourselves independent, separate controllers, and that's the reason we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, his activities. So here, this the mentality of the demigods is expressed in this verse. This is the mentality of the demigods, and certainly this mentality can influence us very much, even as practicing devotees. So we know independent controller mentality means it is based on pride, isn't it? How can we consider independent? We cannot consider ourselves independent. That is really foolishness. It's foolishness. Because we are never independent. We are dependent. So, Bhagavatam elaborates this point. Devarshi Bhudapadra Naam Pidrina Nakim Karo Nayam Rajinicha Rajan. It's about a pure devotee mentioning. But the dependency is emphasized. Everyone is dependent on devas. Right? Rishis, great sages, Nirnam, we are dependent on other living entities. So our life is a life of dependency. However, when we are not in Krishna consciousness, we think, okay, we are independent. I am making my own decisions. I have my right to live in this world. Everything belongs to me. This is my share. Right? That's what everyone thinks. But Bhagavatam illustrates that, no, we are dependent on various levels. It's not just one level, on various levels. So this is the position of the living entity, dependency. A jiva is dependent, always. There is no independent existence for a jiva. This is the reality. However, only illusion can one think that we are independent. And it's only because of ignorance on the basis, but practically on the level of pride. So, when there is pride in the heart, we forget about dependency on Krishna. Even we are devotees still, when there is pride in our heart, we forget about dependency on Krishna, and then all negative qualities emerge. Right? As it is mentioned, there is always the pride before a fall. Before a fall, there is a pride. We can see for ourselves. We can take even a very simple example. I mentioned in my last class, chanting. The moment we think I am chanting good, then we come back. Oh, what happened? Has it happened? Chanting is going very good. Okay, now I am hearing holy name. So sweet, very nice. Suddenly, what happened? I didn't listen. Maybe a few rounds gone past. I was thinking about something else. So this fall down. It is not exactly okay. Stopping, following four regulative principles of stopping yearning, sex, and doubt. Yes, that is a fall down. So there are different levels of fall down because of pride. One time, I remember a spiritual master instructed a devotee, don't do this, be careful, be mindful. So the devotee was telling other devotees, he thinks that I don't know. He thinks that I will fall down. He thinks that I will fall down, that's why he's instructing me like that, but I am okay. Then after 1 year I met him, he said, yeah, I fell down. this is a reality. Yeah. Because there has to be a pride before the fall down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful about this pride. Eh? That is the underlying thing before this thought of independence. And we can see this in Indra, for example. If you want a classic example for the statement of Lord Shiva, is Indra. Indra thought he is independent controller, right? He is separate. And what happened? He fell down from his position. And this is the problem with the pride, because in the pride, all the negative qualities can come to the mind. Isn't it? It can surface. To the degree that Indra thought that I neglect the entire Vrindavan. All the cows, all the cowherd boys, all the gopas, all the gopis, Krishna, I will annihilate everyone. So the pride has such a powerful venomous effect in our life. So we need to be very careful. And for us, for devotees, safety net is correction in the association of the devotees. So this correction by the devotees actually is a safety net. Because if you are going off board, then devotees tell, okay, this is not the right thing. So this is the meaning of association. Many times the devotee association, Sadhu Sangha, is considered as a safety net. But what is the safety net? One of the important element of this safety net is correction by the devotees. And we have to take it positively. So if one aspect is correcting, that is the duty of devotees. It's not that we can correct anyone and everyone, but who is under our care. Or according to our position, we can correct. Not like, you know, we go around and, you know, now I start correcting everyone. That's not my job. So the spiritual master corrects, or if you are in charge of some devotees, one may correct. That is one's duty one has to. And then we have to take that correction also. And taking correction may not be very easy. Have you noticed? I have noticed myself. It's not an easy pill to swallow. It's very difficult, but it's very important. And we have to accept for our Krishna consciousness. So it is very important that we accept the correction. And we move on. And the point we think that we are independent, there are serious consequences. So, one time, this is the independent, clear independent nature. One of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was a Sanskrit scholar. He was helping in translating Srila Prabhupada. And he came to the conclusion that whatever I know, Prabhupada knows. And whatever Prabhupada knows, I also know. Because we are together translating. So, what's the big deal? You know, I can help in translating. So, I know the meaning, whatever Prabhupada knows. So, he undermined the position of Srila Prabhupada. To the degree that he acted in a very, very offensive way, which we cannot even imagine. He approached Srila Prabhupada and requested for a blessing. You know what was the blessing? Prabhupada, please bless me that I can find a very advanced guru. This is initiated disciples. Can you imagine the weight of that offense? Prabhupada said, I bless you that after millions of lifetimes you may find one. Can you see that? Can you hear that? So this is offense. This is a very clear offense. Thinking oneself independent, separate. So the realization and the translation or memorizing the whole verses or memorizing the entire Bhagavatam has nothing to do with anything. They are separate. It has nothing to do with anything. Like people complain, oh, Prabhupada misquoted one line or made a mistake in one of the verses. What's the big deal? This is just external. So, we have to see the depth of realization according to our capacity of great devotees. Of course, Prabhupada, spiritual masters, advanced devotees. We have to see the essence of the devotees. This is very important. When we hear from advanced devotees, don't think, are they going to please us? Are they going to tell nice stories? You know, sometimes, you know, some advanced devotees, they may not be charismatic speakers. Does that happen? And untrained ears want to hear only from charismatic speakers. That one, nice jokes are there, nice stories are there, it's very good. This is actually very offensive mentality. This is based on pride again. You know, thinking that I know what I should hear. So it's very important that we listen from devotees who are very experienced, who have served for many, many years, 40 years, 50 years. So the question is whether they are charismatic speakers or not, that is not the question. We have to hear their realization. It's very important. And we can go off track in that. And we tend to listen only from, okay, one devotee. I listen only from such and such devotee. Or who is giving Bhagavatam today? Have you heard this question? And according to the speaker, I will choose to hear or not. Because why? We have to accept our conditional nature, no taste for Bhagavatam. It's not wrong with the speaker. It's not that one person is speaking very good and another person is not speaking very well. It is, you don't have any taste for Bhagavatam. That's why you're asking, who is a good speaker? Now, he's a good speaker, he's not a good speaker. But those who have taste for Bhagavatam, it doesn't matter who is speaking. So I was reading one book by His Holiness Sivaram Maharaj. In that book, he made a very interesting statement that sometimes neophyte devotees think that because there are many advanced devotees in the audience, we have to speak according to their standard. Because to please them, because what we are speaking according to our level, their everything is very basic. So, to give them some joy, we should speak advanced topics. So, Maharaj mentioned, no, speak according to your level, because advanced devotees will understand in their level anyway. You speak in your level, advanced devotees will understand Bhagavatam in their level. What you speak is enough. So this is the reception of Bhagavatam. So we speak according to our level, that is enough. And the audience, according to their level of Krishna consciousness, will understand. We don't need to worry about that part. Of course, we cannot speak above our standard. We can speak our standard. What else can we do? There is no point speaking too much above our standard. And it can be very artificial. Then, we have to be very careful, because if we preach or if we take some position in Krishna consciousness, in service to Krishna, then there can be followers and there can be devotees who are ready to follow us. Who is ready to tell Haribol? Okay, ready, I am to follow you. In that condition, we have to be even more careful. We are not really in charge, or we are not controllers of anyone. It can happen in any group, in any circumstance. For example, if you are preaching, okay, let it be a Bhakti Ruksha, let it be another preaching program. So, definitely if you preach for some time, if you give talks, if you speak to them, if you cultivate, then there may be number of devotees, upcoming devotees, they will say, I will follow you. This is actually a test. It can happen in many circumstances. Even it can happen in even God's family. If you are following a guru, if you are a leader, if you are a senior devotee in a God family, one may think that, okay, look, now I am the controller. This is a very serious problem in our life. It's a very serious threat to our own devotional life. It's not a problem for others. It can create problems for others, of course. But it's a problem for ourselves. We have to be very mindful. So in any position, when we think that, look, I am in charge. Okay, one can be in charge in certain aspects. But if you think that I am separate, I am controller, serious problems. One can commit huge blunders, huge mistakes. And that can cause fall down. And it has happened. It has happened. So when we accept any position, even though we loosely say that, okay, I'm a servant leader, but it carries a lot of weight. So we have to be very conscious where we are at. And to follow that, it's not very difficult. I have thought about it. Is it very difficult to think that I'm a servant, I'm not really in charge? It's not very difficult, provided if we can be mindful of our own anarthas. Then we can be humbled. I was thinking, how to do this? If we are conscious of our own position, then it is not very difficult. Just think about the anartha that are in our heart. When I think about that, it's easy. I may have to act in a certain way, I may preach, but I am nowhere. When we see our own heart, we understand there are issues to deal with for ourselves. And that is really good. One of the sannyasis was making the point that he mentioned that I wash my own clothes. So his servants were asking for clothes and other devotees were asking for clothes to wash. He said, no, I wash my own clothes. So the devotees asked the sannyasi, why? So the Maharaj told that when I wash my clothes, when I squeeze, I can see dirt coming out. So when I see dirt coming out, I understand that I am in this material world and I have problems. So this is a very humble position. He's speaking in a very humble platform. See, Lord Shiva, here, what is he speaking? He's thinking that, look, I am an independent, I think myself an independent, separate controller So I cannot understand the activities or the personality of the Lord. So He is instructing us and we can imbibe this. So it is very important that we get connected to devotees, those who are advanced. We get connected to our own Guru. When even initiated disciples, when they feel that I don't want to follow my Guru, not maybe chanting 16 rounds, maybe following for a yogi person, but in the phases of life, one may think, you know, I feel completely disconnected to Guru, or he is thinking something, I am thinking something else, you know, what he's telling is not right. When this kind of offensive mentality comes to the mind, then one has to be very careful, one has to correct oneself. This can happen. I'm not saying it will not happen. It has happened. One devotee told me, he wanted to take shelter of a spiritual master. So this devotee, he was between two spiritual masters. Okay, one spiritual master here in Melbourne and other spiritual master somewhere else, far away. So he first, you know, he was aspiring for one spiritual master here. Then after some time he told me, no, I don't want a spiritual master. I want to aspire for, he was the shelter of a spiritual master. I want to aspire for some other spiritual master far away from here. I said, yeah, that's fine. You know, you can choose your spiritual master. There's no issue. But what, why? So he told that, I am afraid that this spiritual master who is here, he may give some personal instructions. Then I have to follow. But if I choose a spiritual master who will not give me any instruction, then it is fine. I said, the starting point itself is very wrong. Please understand why you are taking shelter and initiating. The basis itself is a serious problem. So be careful, this mentality is very offensive. You check your mentality. So these kind of things can happen. So this is not uncommon, that's why I am mentioning. It can be before initiation, it can be after initiation. We can think that, look, I have my view, my spiritual master has their views. Or whoever I am taking siksha from, senior devotee, they have their view, I have my plans. So one, any time this independent mentality can come, and that can be disastrous. So we have to be quite careful, because we are living in the material world. So flood of thoughts come. So these mentalities can come. It can be transient. Then it's okay. But one has to be quite mindful. That's all. So we have to understand whatever instructions we are getting from the spiritual master of our senior devotees, so temple authority. Ultimately, they are all trying to connect us to Krishna. To Srila Prabhupada. So we have to be thankful on that one basis. There can be different opinions, but ultimately everyone is helping us to connect to Prabhupada and Krishna. So one shouldn't go off the board. You know, off the board one shouldn't go. Okay, there will be differences. But one has to see, okay, we are in one family, we are trying to connect to Prabhupada and Krishna. And that we have, that commonality we have to see. And in that way we feel, we have to be felt gratitude. We had to feel gratitude. Look, after all, we are not talking about, you know, this or that, but it's for pleasure of Krishna, it's for pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. One time, Gopi Paranathana Prabhu said, there can be differences, but we need devotees to speak Krishna Katha. It's a very deep statement. There can be differences. One may come to the conclusion, oh, the dharmis are better than devotees. It happens or no? When the faith is shaken, then many people, conclusion is, these devotees are acting in this way, but karmis are even better. Okay, on one level, maybe some sweet words or some immediate material help, the karmis could act in a better way. In some, unfortunately, some situations can arise. But at the same time, one has to understand, to connect to Krishna, there is no other option. To speak Krishna Katha, that's what Prabhu said. To speak Krishna Katha, there is no one else. You cannot go and speak Krishna Katha to karmis. Then that friendship is gone. Is it right? You go and speak Bhagavatam. End of the friendship, that is finished. So one has to be very mindful. So one should be just judgmental. Rather, one has to see, okay, where we are at. And being controllers and enjoyers, so that is the next level. So one is independence, then controller and then enjoyer. So if we accept any position in Krishna consciousness, or if you are guiding anyone, if the enjoyer mentality comes to our consciousness, it is disastrous. So this is, one has to be very mindful. In fact, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he made a very interesting statement. It was about a fall down of a prominent leader within his company. You know, he left his position and I don't know whatever practice he did, whatever. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said, such and such person had to leave Krishna consciousness because of demigod mentality. The word he used, you know, very much connecting to this verse, right? Demigod mentality. What is the demigod mentality? Independent, controller and enjoyer. This is there, right? I have my position, so I am independent, I can control and so I can enjoy. That is the problem with the demigods, right? We always speak about, okay, we never speak about going to the demigod planet. Always it is contempt. But we can act as demigods here. We don't need to go to heavenly planets. We can be a demigod here and we can be in the same soup. So that is the point here Lord Shiva is making, that this demigod mentality is dangerous, disastrous. It can keep us here. That is the meaning of pradishtha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says pradishtha. Attachment to the position and, you know, I am such and such. It is very difficult. It is very fine. It is very subtle and it can be in our consciousness. And we can see, in my consciousness, I can see it is coming. And one has to be careful. Should it speak? Should it act? It can lead to serious consequences. So these impediments have to be removed. And so it is mentioned that demigods have a serious problem because there are a lot of material opulences, and in the material opulence it's very difficult to think about Krishna. In Bhagavatam, we know the example of Indra. But who else was a bit proud about his position? Brahma, we know classic example of Brahma. And I want to hear a personality. You may not think other, you know, may not think often, but can you tell another personality who was a bit proud? Oh, not exactly. Not exactly. This is a bit more in a gross fashion. Who? Okay, I'll give you a clue, otherwise it will be very difficult. He's a Mahajan and we glorify him. No. Another one. That's right. Who said that? Okay, thank you. That is good. Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, after usurping the position of Indra, he became a bit proud. You know what he did after getting the position of Indra? He did the right thing. You know what he did? He wanted to conduct many sacrifices. Because he got the position without the qualification. What is the qualification to go to the heavenly planet? Punya. And how can one get punya? Pious credits? By performing sacrifices. So he immediately engaged brahmanas to get all the sacrifices and let it go on. So that I have a qualification. He was very intelligent. But he was proud. He had some pride. And who corrected Bali Maharaj's pride? Vamanadeva. But there is one more personality involved. He gives a very appointed instruction about how one can be influenced by opulence. Who is that? You all know. Bali Maharaj was instructed when he was bound by the Varuna Pasha. Prahlad Maharaj, who is his grandfather, right? Instructed. You know, he chanted this verse from the 8th canto. I really like this verse. The reason is, this is the first Bhagavatam class I heard in this temple. So when I heard this verse, I was, oh, wow, this is interesting. I came here, I just sat there, and then I was hearing this verse, and I was thinking, oh, this is very powerful. And I wanted to memorize that verse. It was a very powerful verse. The verse is, Yayahi vidvan api muhyate yatas. Tato vichakshte gadimatmanam param tasme namaste jagadishiraya vai narayanayati akhila loka sakshine. That time, because of two reasons I like this verse. One, there was a mention of Narayan. Narayanayati akhila loka sakshine. Second, I was very much moved when I heard Yayahi vidvan api muhyate yata. Vidvan, even a learned person who has self-control, not an ordinary person. A learned person who has self-control can be mukhyate, even he can be bewildered. Why? by the material opulence. One can be learned, one can have self-control, still even such a person can be completely shaken by the illusion of opulence. So he says, the Lord says that from what? From the path of self-realization. From the path of self-realization. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned 2 points in the first canto of Bhagavatam Purport. Two things are impediments to spiritual life. What he says in the first canto of Bhagavatam, who knows?
Lack of faith?
No. He mentioned 2 points. 2 impediments. Yes, exactly to the point. He says woman and money. For a transcendental woman and money, meaning opposite sex and money. Can boom. Gone. One is going the spiritual path, he can deviate. So very, very powerful. So when I heard this verse, I thought, oh, this is quite profound. Because talking about self-control knowledge, but still the material opulence can really deviate, derail the spiritual path. Then Prahlad Maharaj says, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. This is the statement of Prahlad Maharaj. So he is telling, no, I don't want to be deviated from the path. Of course, he is always worshipping the Supreme Lord. But again, in some humble person is making this point that I don't want to be deviated from the spiritual path, so I pay my obeisance unto Lord Narayana. This is very interesting actually. So this is the point. And so Kunti Devi says, Namo Akinchana Vittaya Nirvritta Gunavrittaye Atmaramaya Shantaya Kaivalyapataye Namaha. He says, Akinchana Vittaya, the Lord is the property of one who is materially impoverished. So it has 2 meanings. One is, one doesn't have anything materially. Second is, even more deeper, one is detached. One is not attached, one is completely detached from the material affluence, no interest. Then such person can get Krishna. So 2 examples are there. One is Gorkishodas Babaji, his disappearance day we celebrated just 2 days back, right? He didn't have anything. That is Akinchana Vittaya. Nothing is there, materially impoverished. There is another example also, who is also materially impoverished. Who is that? Who has all the wealth? Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj. You know, he had everything. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj. They had everything, but they are also Akinchana Vittaya. They are materially impoverished because no attachment at all. When the time of retirement, all the Pandavas went. The Pandavas retired timely, right? Timely retirement. It's a very important word, timely. Generally, retirement and death. Oh, they want to be as close as possible. This is like I told a story. One of my professors, he was already walking like this, you know, because of old age. He was coming to the university in Melbourne, Uni, and in the same lab. And he's a very respected professor. So one day I asked him, "Hey, did you hear?" He told me, "Did you hear that I'm going to Hong Kong City University of Hong Kong?" I said, he left Melbourne University because they were offered a huge sum as a director of a lab. So, I'm going. I said, really? I thought you were going to retire. Okay. I told the truth. Because, you know, old age, old grey hair, and you're walking. I said, are you going to retire? He said, no. It's not like that. Retirement or death, whichever is first. Let's see whichever is first. But you wanted to see that, you want to work till death. You know, karmic mentality. That, I don't know what happened. I did after that. Figure out what happened. This is how it is. This is material illusion, you know. Want to work till die. Death. And we can see that always. Especially when there's possession and control and power, right? Wants to keep going as long as one can. And then death will kick. So, yes. It's difficult in that sense, material world. Here the next point is, so because of this consciousness, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. Right? Maya Javarika Channam. Maya covers position, independence, separate mentality, everything. That's what is Pruthak Bhava. This word, the word uses Pruthak Bhava. separate. Pradak means separate, very literally means pradak bhava. Because of the separate mentality, there is serious consequence, and then Krishna is covered by the curtain of Maya. Because it is up to him whom to reveal. And that is the connection to this quoted verse. Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham. Just by studying Vedas, he will not reveal himself. It is his choice whom to reveal and whom known to. And that's why it's only by pure devotional service, as mentioned, can one understand anything about Krishna. Lord Brahma exactly made this, the same point in the 14th chapter of 10th canto. After the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the Lord, by his kindness, revealed himself to Brahma. He could see what's really going on. He could see, oh, everyone is the Narayan form. So Brahma had that vision. And of course, his prayers are prayers of remorse. In one of the prayers, he made this point: Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratma Yogeshwaroti Bhavata Strilokyam Kwava Kathamva Kativa Kathedi Vistarein Kridasi Yogamaya. He mentioned, how can one understand your pastimes? Because you are expanding yourself and you are enacting your pastimes always. And who can understand this? Who can understand that where these pastimes are happening? How many times these pastimes are happening? We cannot understand anything. So Brahma presents his humble position. Even though he is the master of this one universe, he's telling, I can't understand anything. Just like here. Now it is mentioned. What is the word used here? About Lord Brahma?
Virincha.
Virincha. So he said, Naham Virincho. Virincha. Even Virincha, Lord Brahma cannot understand. So this is the point. Because it is up to the Lord. Only Lord has to reveal. No one else. And that's why in the association of the devotees, one has to know. Otherwise, what happens? As it is mentioned, you know, viparya aparya smriti. One turns back from Krishna, so one comes to the spiritual world, one is with Krishna. When one actually turns, viparya, one actually turns, immediately what happens? The simultaneous process is asmriti. So, forgetfulness and turning away from Krishna happen simultaneously. And that's it. Then, Maya. Yen Mayatam. Then it is Maya. Then Maya will look after. Okay, I got one more person. Okay, I will take care of him or her, whatever. Or whatever species. So this is the position. And so Lord Shiva makes this point of problem with independence and being separate from the devotees. Being the separate controllers. Because with this mentality, we can lose the association. On a practical level, what can happen? By the separate mentality, we lose the association of the devotees. And then, that is the pathway to fall down. Finally, since it is a very important point that is mentioned here about Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva is not ordinary. So I'll speak very briefly about the position of Lord Shiva, which is very difficult to understand anyway. So I'll try to speak a few points from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami makes a few points very clear about Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is very unique. Lord Shiva is very unique because he is taking care of the finest aspect of material element. The finest. What is that? The mode of ignorance. He is in charge of tamogun. And you can see that is the false ego. That is the fine line between spiritual and material, isn't it? The false identity, the false identification, that actually separates soul from the rest of the subtle body. And Lord Shiva is in charge. And so, his position is also between the jivas, the marginal energy, and the Supreme Lord. Can you see? He says that the niche is his very specific position, which is not material and in one sense not completely spiritual as well. So this is the position of Lord Shiva, and so he is not material. That we have to understand very carefully, that he is not a marginal potency of the Lord, but rather he is above the living entities. So Rupa Goswami explains the different positions of Lord Shiva. He makes a very interesting point that he mentions that Nirguna Praya, when he speaks about Gunavatas in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, he uses the word Nirguna Praya. Praya means almost. Nirguna Praya, he is almost Nirguna. He is almost transcendental. So Rupa Goswami doesn't say that he is completely transcendental, but he is almost transcendental. Meaning that he can at times be influenced by the material modes. That's all. At times. But he should never be considered as an ordinary living entity. He is certainly above the ordinary living entities, but at times he can be Nirguna Praya. He can be touched by the modes. And Lord Shiva, he appears from whom? He can appear from Lord Brahma and also from the Lord, from Vishnu. How? In the form of the glance. And also he can appear when? At the time of destruction from Lord Sankarshan. From Lord Sankarshan, when the fire is coming from the mouth of Sankarshan, from the hood, on top of the hood of Sankarshan, Lord Shiva appears. Rudra forms, many forms appear. So in this way, Lord Shiva appears many times. You know, in many ways he appears. So these forms are generally considered Nirguna Praya, almost transcendental. And of course, he does exist in the spiritual world as Sadashiva, where he is beyond the modes, where it is that extension of Vaikuntha. So where as Sadashiva, he is not influenced by the three modes of material nature, because otherwise he cannot stay in that abode, in that Shivaloka, which is untouched by three modes of material nature. So Lord Shiva is not ordinary. So Jiva Goswami mentions that only ordinary living entities consider Lord Shiva as ordinary. So ordinary living entities may consider Lord Shiva as ordinary, but no, that's not the case. He is superior to all the living entities, but not yet on the platform of Lord Vishnu. So that is a unique position of Lord Shiva. And now in this verse, he accepts a very humble position and mentions that generally living entities, non-devotees, even demigods, can actually be afflicted by this independent, separate mentality. Thank you. I conclude here and see if there are any quick questions and we... Yes.
So my question is, you mentioned this point that we should not have a selective attitude to giving Srimad Bhagavatam stickers. So I can see this anartha in me. And my question is that sometimes this anartha can mask itself, and the mind can say, it is not that the speaker is not charismatic, but it is that maybe this devotee is not completely like-minded. Sometimes we can, maybe some devotees, they have a different mood of serving Krishna, they have different vision. But it doesn't really resonate. So then sometimes I feel like leaving class or just listening to another speaker. So how to deal with this?
The question is, the anartha of choosing the speakers, for example, I may not feel connected to or resonating with someone, may not be like-minded, etc. We can have our own reasons not to listen. So, I had to make this point that, first of all, if you are listening online, in the sense, not the Bhagavatam class from the temple, you may choose from your guru, Prabhupada, you may listen for a number of devotees. You don't have to listen in ISKCON, maybe thousands of speakers are there. So you cannot say that I will go to ISKCON directly and I will listen from everyone. That may not work. Right? One lifetime may not be enough. So in that case, we may listen from a few speakers. Okay? That is acceptable because that is practical. However, when it comes to our regular hearing from the temple, we just listen. Whoever is there, we just listen. So in that way, we can get rid of that selective mentality. So some devotees, they are free for Saturday, Sunday to listen. Then come here, or they may listen every day or few days. There are many devotees listening online pretty much every day. So just listen, that's all. No need to think. If you have a selected day, you choose the days, not the speaker. So I am free on such and such days. These days I will listen. Whoever is speaking, I speak. So in that way, you can choose the day not to speak. That's the reason sometimes devotees ask, can I get the roster? I want to choose. No, don't worry. Just come and listen. Yeah. Okay, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, in this shloka, it is mentioned even Narada being put in this category.
Yeah.
Did you cover this point or did I miss it?
I didn't specifically speak about Narada. However, what we need to understand is that Lord Shiva is presenting in a very humble position. So he is bringing everyone down, like non-devotees. Even I cannot understand, so which is humility. I cannot understand Narada, who is Narada and Lord Shiva. What is the connection between Lord Shiva and Narada? Brother. Even my brother cannot understand. You understand? Narada is my brother. Even he cannot understand. And Brahma is the father, and there are other sons of Brahma, like Swayambhu, there are many more. Even they cannot understand the Supreme Lord. So, see, this kind of statements are made to want to position Lord at the right place. So don't misunderstand Brahma, Shiva, Narada as the Supreme Lord. So it's all for us, not for them. The next point is what mentality we already discussed. Because of such and such mentality we cannot understand. So what we have to do? Be careful. So we have to check on ourselves. That is the point.
And also another question, Prabhu.
Yeah.
In terms of independent behavior and having that demigod mentality, we see that even Prabhupada, when he went to the West, I mean, he requested, he was trying to depend on the Gaudiya Math a lot. So the Gaudiya Math never, helped him in his teaching endeavors in the West. So he founded ISKCON pretty much by the mercy of the Lord. But that should not be taken as an independent behavior, isn't it? Because he was trying to be dependent, but he was not getting the help. So he has created something for the pleasure of the Lord.
Yes.
So it shouldn't be taken as an independent.
Prabhupada created ISKCON as an independent movement of Gaudiya movement. At the same time, Gaudiya movement is a Gaudiya movement. But we had to understand very clearly the history that the Gaudiya Math that was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj didn't exist at that point. Yes or no? That didn't exist. It was split into another, I don't know how many Gaudiya Maths. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj never wanted that. He wanted a GPC kind of system. He didn't want one Acharya. He wanted multiple gurus jointly working together to run the organization. That's what he wanted, but that didn't happen. So that Gaudiya Math, which was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, didn't exist on one level. Second, Srila Prabhupada actually was completely dependent on the instruction and mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And so he established exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wanted. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wanted. So it's very in line with the parampara, very much connected to the parampara. He wanted a society where there are multiple devotees managing, not just one person, and spread everywhere. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had that vision. He knew if there's only one Acharya, there can be issues. And they had the issues. So the Gaudiya history. And so he wanted that thing. There are checks and balances, not just one person. And Prabhupada is Prabhupada. He knew everyone is not Prabhupada. So he wanted a cooperatively running the society. So we can very clearly see that the vision of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and we can see how Prabhupada was completely dependent on that vision. So if you see, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made everything clear. So you can see how the parampara is working. If you see Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, because Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had to remove this caste mentality, right?
Yes.
The only Brahmanas can worship Saligram Shila and worship the deities and get second initiation, Brahman initiation. Only the caste Brahmanas, others can't. So such a strong impression in India, and he was attacked when he initiated everyone into Brahminical culture, given Brahmin Diksha and took them to Vrindavan. It's a history. He was attacked. Many Goswamis shut that temple. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj actually established, you know, this is for everyone. He even initiated one Western person, right? He had one Western disciple as well. He did that. What's his name?
One German disciple.
You know, he came, he was finding, you know, who is God. He was the journey. Finally, he ended up with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He understood he is a real guru. So we can see Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj opened the door. This is for everyone. He established that fact very clearly. And then he wanted it to be established throughout the world. And Prabhupada did that. So we can see very strong connection to the instruction of the spiritual master. Of course, the first instruction, you know, in many ways we can see. But we can see that how Prabhupada is so connected.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Hare
Krishna. Yes, you can speak into the microphone. Or maybe after that. Yeah.
Just a quick question. See, this tendency to enjoy independent of the Lord, you know,
yeah,
it's been with us from time immemorial.
Yes.
And that is the very reason why we are in the ocean of samsara, tossing with this,
yes,
this material independent birth. This tendency actually we often listen to this and we've heard that this tendency actually originated in the spiritual world where we, you know, we turned away from the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's why this, the drop down happens. So all I want to know is where exactly, in which scripture is actually which scripture is exactly mentioned that we turned away from God before the problem.
In Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, Ichha Dvesha Samudhena Dvanda Mohena Bharata Sarvabhutani Sammoha Dvante Yanti Kalantava. Ichha and Dvesha. This is a mentality. Yeah, Ichha and Dvesha. Mentality of criminal psychology. We are actually criminals. We are the jail. So, what is our mentality? Ichha and Dvesha. What is Ichha? First, let's say, Ichha, I want to be the enjoyer. And what is Dvesha? Why Krishna is enjoying? This is our mentality. Actually, the material world is all about this Ichha and Dvesha. How can I enjoy? Why do I worship the Lord? Why is he doing it? Why giving everything to Krishna? So this is our mentality. This is very subtle. It is in us, right? You know, we can think, you know, sometimes we know, why do I do this? Like the same mentality it is coming from. We still have that mentality. Very clearly, oh my God, what's the mentality? This is Ichha Dvesha Samudhena. This is one reference. And I called another verse from the 11th canto. This is the beginning of the verses. Bhayam Dvitiya Vinivesadasya. In that word, Viparya Asmriti, Yanmayatam Budha Bhajetam Bhaktiyegamesham Gurudevatatma. The conclusion is Sarva Guru. That's the conclusion. So then we have the enjoying mentality. So there is a Guru is there, okay, serve the mission of the Guru. So no, not acting for ourselves, right? That makes you know. Not for me, my Guru is instructed, these are the instructions of Prabhupada, and I will do. So that is actually, we are acting against that. That is devotional service. Not for ourselves, for Krishna. So that is the point. Okay, there are many references in this. Thank you. There are final questions. You want to go? Is it working?
Prabhu, you mentioned about Nirguna Praya of Shiva. But we also understand that he is the greatest Vaishnava.
Mm.
Which means we are expecting him to be completely transcendental.
Yeah.
So, he is beyond the three modes. So, yes. How is it that we are still talking about?
So, when you talk about Nirguna Praya, it is a very, very rare occurrence. It's not a daily affair. So, the reason is, he has to associate with the material energy. Lord Shiva has to associate with the material energy. And that's why this shampoo form has come about. Because the Lord cannot directly associate with the material energy. Cannot. If the Lord is there, then Maya has to be behind. Lord cannot associate. There is no possibility. So that is complete transcendence. So that's why Vishnu had to come up with this energy, this particular energy that is the Shambhudatta, by which he can associate with Maya, his consort. At the same time, here is the point. Praya means it's a very, very rare occurrence. So on a practical level, he's transcendental. He's a guru. Lord Shiva is a guru. He's the beginning of a Vaishnava Sampradaya. So for all practical reasons, certainly he is transcendental. So we accept his teachings. We are accepting his teachings here, straight away. And those who followed his teachings, they have gone back home, back to Godhead. Who is that in the fourth canto? Prachetas. Right? Followed Lord Shiva's teaching. So he's a guru. So we shouldn't see that, okay, this when even though this Praya is mentioned, so when he acts in this material world, there can be some influence very remotely. That's all we have to understand. To illustrate this point, what happened to Lord Shiva one time? He got bewildered. Right? Bhagavatam also narrates the story, right? He got bewildered by seeing the Mohini Murti. So to show that, okay, it can be bewildered. But it's not. That bewilderment became an instruction to his followers. So even though if such a bewilderment happened, it is for the benefit of everyone. It's not like we are going to the Maya. We are going to the Maya. I went to Maya to teach everyone else how not to do. No, it's not like that. The Lord Shiva's bewilderment is teaching everyone. And it is in the pages of Bhagavatam. What happened to Lord Shiva? He got bewildered. He started running after Mohini Murti. The Lord already told, don't see me in this form. It will be bewildering. You cannot handle. So if you see that, you can see. No, I want to see. Okay, sure. And he was running in front of all his disciples and great sages. Lord Shiva was running. Can you imagine? And he fell down. Of course, he couldn't catch Mohini Murti. But he fell down, literally in front of everyone. He fell down, isn't it? That is the pages of Bhagavatam. And this is why. And what is the realization? What did Lord Shiva speak after that? He felt very proud. For himself? No, that's not a pride if I followed there. He felt very proud that my Lord is certainly superior. He can bewilder me completely. He can, you know, humble me. You know, sometimes it happens, you know, pull the rug from, you know, boom, gone. What happened? On the floor, okay, looking. It happens to us, you know, we get completely bewildered. In front of all the devotees, we are ashamed. Right? It happens to us. It's okay. And still continue. It's Krishna's mercy. So, Lord Shiva was okay, fine with that. So, this became an instructional example. A very, very instructional example from Lord Shiva. So, these are the kind of instances that we can see in terms of Lord Shiva. But otherwise, he is a spiritual master. He is a Mahajan. So we shouldn't undermine. This is talking about in terms of Tattva, this Prayana is used, Prayana, but it's not in terms of Tattva. But for all practical purposes, he is a spiritual master. And his instructions are taken seriously. Yeah.
Very good. So is it right to say that Lord Shiva is not affected by material energy, but he is affected by the Supreme Lord only? Because for any other example where material energy itself affects him, because here Mohini Murti is not material energy.
No, not material energy.
So on what basis when we say that he can...
But he fell down in a material fashion. Okay, Mohini Murti's form we cannot say is material because the Lord's form. But his fall down was material in one sense. Isn't it? His fall down, you consider his fall down, it's just like a normal fall down if you think about it. So he was influenced. He fell down, but it was not an ordinary fall down. And we glorify that. And we glorify Lord Shiva, we glorify the whole past time, we glorify Vishnu, Mohini Murti, everyone. So it is not on an ordinary level. So that's why we should never consider it as an ordinary, this kind of thing.
Other than Mohini Murti, do you have any examples of Lord Shiva?
No, generally Lord Shiva, he doesn't fall down. So that's why we have to understand. It is mentioned, Mother Parvati worshipped Lord Shiva. It's explained the way she worshipped. It was almost, you know, anyone can fall down. But Lord Shiva was unaffected. Lord Shiva is unaffected. So, for all, that's what we had to understand. For all practical purpose, we had to understand Lord Shiva is beyond the three modes. And we can accept his instruction. And he is the Param Vaishnava. Vaishnavana Yathashambhu. Who is selling Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam telling this point. But on the other side, I can read actually, this is a very nice purport. One second, just give me a second. this Nirguna Praya purport. Mm. So I'll read this. Let's hear from Rupa Goswami. When Lord Hara is a personal expansion of the Purusha, he is nearly transcendental to the material modes. But because of his contact with the mode of ignorance, all in this world perceive him as a subject to transformation. We find in the 10th canto that Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature. He manifests three features in response to the entities of natures of three modes. So in that way it's mentioned. So his transcendental position differs from the limited jiva when they assume the role of Rudra's expansion. So that's another side point. When you are talking about there are jivas can also assume the position of Rudra. So that's a different story over there. So here, see, as indicated in this is a purport by Baladev Vidyabhushan. So Baladev Vidyabhushan explains this further. I read it. As indicated in this verse by the word Nirguna Prayaha, nearly transcendental, Lord Hara sometimes allows himself to be covered by ignorance. So this is the point we need to understand. It's a very beautiful point actually. He allows himself to be covered by ignorance at times. Of course, then we have to understand it is for a purpose. It's for a purpose. It is generally thought that his association with matter subjects him to material change, but in truth he is changeless. So he is changeless. So his prayana is only because of when he chooses for whatever service requirement, if he has to associate, he will associate. So it can look like he is covered. So that is the point. So that is a fine line. Nixon? So that's why all practical level we have to see him as transcendental. Should never see him as ordinary.
Could we consider that as a lila for destruction of others?
Yeah, that's right. So there are occurrences where he allows himself to be covered. So Mohini Murthy, for example, one can always ask this question. Why Lord Shiva, the Lord already told him not to see. Why he said, no, I want to see. So we have to see that it's for instruction. That's what I explained before. Thank you. Grandrashim Bhagavatam ki Shira Prabhupada ki
some in all aspects, not only Bhagavatam, say selective even like someone like I speak for myself. Sometimes I feel like, oh, this person is doing nice service, whatever service, like kitchen service, or he's doing nice contract production, or he's doing nice. In every aspect there is some kind of selectiveness, what I think.
No, there is nothing wrong in that. That's okay.
How then the mind starts making plans.
No, that is not that. You are talking about hearing or in general you are saying selective?
In all aspects, I am saying. There is selectiveness.
No, you may be inspired from someone. There is nothing wrong in it. We don't deny that aspect. But when it comes to regular classes, this is the point. That is the point I was saying. It's like, you know, how can you listen from everyone in the Iskandar?
Yeah.
It's not practical. Then you select who are you.